Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Mouthful.
Hello.
Hi, this is Mark Purdy. I'm either busy, can't get the phone, or maybe on an airplane or someplace right now. So I can't answer you right now, but leave your name and number after the beep. I'll get as I can. Thanks.
Hey, Mark, it's Mike from Dudes on Hockey. I was just giving you a call to get you on the podcast here tonight. It's around 5 after 7. We're just going to give you a call back around 7:30. You're probably tied up at dinner maybe or something like that. So we'll give you a call back at 7:30 and hope to talk to you then. Thanks, Mark. Bye.
All right.
I guess we're doing the intro now.
Yeah, we can talk. I mean, we
let's just keep rolling. Dude, here we are. We're supposed to talk to Mark Purdy, but he didn't answer the phone.
Wow, this is we're getting this is like reality.
Yeah. It's reality podcasting. So, dude, we're recording a little early this week because we do want to talk to Mark Purdy about his article. And we talked to Kevin Kurz last week. We're trying to get some perspective here on some of these issues. Not much else has happened. Well, let's talk about the only other thing. What has happened here in the
Well, nothing with the Sharks, you know, but right?
Yeah.
Anyway, there's been no Sharks news. We have Doug Wilson went on NHL Live and said that some of the guys in the exit interview said that we were more like coworkers and not like teammates.
Yeah.
So all these condemning statements of the roster, while on the other hand, Thornton and Marlowe are coming out and saying, we're not leaving. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I'm not going anywhere.
But we're not going anywhere. Oh, we're only going to play 15 minutes a night? Sure, I don't care. I love living here. It's beautiful.
It could happen. It could happen, dude. I don't know.
It's impossible to know, right? I mean, there's so many wheels in motion right now that it's going to be very interesting to see what happens this week. I mean, I think this is a huge week in terms of the rebuild of the Sharks, the tomorrow team.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teams like that do some major business at the NHL draft, which is on Friday and Saturday. So if the Sharks are going to make a significant move, removing a piece of their core, it certainly makes sense that it's going to happen on Friday, because that would be the type of asset I would think they'd be looking to get in return. Mm-hmm. You know, a draft pick, a first round draft pick, a pick that they can make now, not a pick that, well, I mean, oh, maybe they'd rather have the 2015 pick, you know,
and
that's entirely possible too. But those kind of deals are usually made on Friday.
Yeah. It's you see a lot of movement on the number one draft day, where they just draft the first round, right? And we saw Burns move. We see a lot of guys move, and it definitely could happen. Even though the tweet, which wasn't quite as positive as I think some people might take it to be, I think Marlowe said, "We're not going anywhere." Quote, at this point, is what Kevin Kurz tweeted. So that could mean anything. That, to me, that's no different than saying, I don't know, anything could happen. You know, it's JD statement at this
There's
point.
It's been interesting to listen to Hockey Central. I like listening to that podcast. If you're interested in sort of a hockey news podcast, you know, these guys, they do a pretty good job. And, you know, they've been talking, and these guys are NHL insiders,
yeah.
right?
yeah.
But they've got some pretty good information, and they've been talking as if Joe Thornton and Patrick Marlowe are definitely in play. I mean, they've been talking about it as if it's out there. I mean, they made comments this week, dude, that, you know, Thornton's name was talked a lot about at the Stanley Cup Finals amongst, you know, hockey people who were there. And supposedly Joe only wants to go to the New York Rangers, dude. Thoughts wow. about that?
Well, they bought out Brad Richards, and so that certainly leaves a space in the middle for Joe to fill if the things can be put right. I think someone may have said that, or post on the blog or something, that the Rangers were going to buy him out anyway, which is very likely true. But certainly that seems to be a good match, depending on what comes back the other way. I've heard Joe with Chicago and Joe with all these other teams too. I mean,
yeah,
who knows?
One that came up on Hockey Central this week from a Detroit Red Wings beat writer was the Red Wings.
Mm.
So the name is out there. This isn't, I think, idle chatter. I mean, that there's definitely got to be some conversations happening, but bottom line is Joe's got to approve whatever.
Yeah.
If Doug gets a deal that he likes, then Joe's got to say he'll go, you know, and that's a major part of the equation. And Patrick Marleau's name came up linked to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen today, dude, that players with no move clauses
yeah.
are movable because Scott Hartnell was essentially told that the Flyers' new GM, Ron Hextall, said, we don't want you anymore.
Yeah.
Basically.
We'd rather have RJ Umberger, who gets paid the same amount of money for fewer points.
So he was told that he wasn't wanted anymore.
Yeah.
His feelings were hurt, and he left.
Right.
So is it possible to move a guy with a no move? Absolutely.
Oh, yes. It's happened many times.
Sometimes you have to take back RJ Umberger and a fourth, but, you know, that trade on paper just looks terrible, right?
I mean, RJ Umberger, Flyer again. Okay.
That guy's gotten worse and worse.
Yeah.
And Scott Hartnell, you just think about the Flyers, you think about Scott Hartnell.
I know.
Right? Throwing his glove.
Yeah.
Being crazy, his crazy locks.
I think I've said it before on the podcast. He is my favorite non-shark.
Ah,
Scott Hartnell. Well, now Dan Boyle, unfortunately. But Scott Hartnell is my favorite non-shark. He's the best.
For a team that's taken some serious steps forward in the Columbus Blue Jackets, I think they got significantly better today.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as a team that, you know, was playing in the playoffs, they traded Marian Gaborik, right? They have the stones to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was, you know, I couldn't believe that they did that and got really nothing back, but they were clearly just getting rid of the money so they could spend the money on something like this. If they have Horton and Hartnell healthy next year, adding to the pieces that they already had, it's a pretty good team.
They could be pretty good.
They could be pretty good.
Yeah. And in the East,
anything could happen.
That's right.
Right? Anything can happen. So I think the Hartnell deal is a perfect example, dude, that, you know, we don't know what was said between Doug Wilson and Thornton and Marleau. If there are guys in the exit interviews saying that they felt like they weren't teammates, but they were coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about the culture of this team?
It says that there's little to no cohesion, that these guys maybe have split into factions, you know, cliques. We've heard about this on other teams. You know, you get a group of guys that are all friends and they sort of exclude the other guys. There's a minimal sense of overall team camaraderie. You know, those kinds of things can happen, right? You get
it's cool, so interesting.
Cool kids in one corner and the not cool kids in the other corner.
Right? Gosh, I never. The Sharks just seem on to the, you know, outsider as the good time gang, right?
Now I really want to hear from Drew Remenda because he would have definitely some insight into the question like that.
Yeah. Well,
maybe we can get him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And now's the time to ask.
Yeah, might as well, right?
Okay, we're going to go for it. We're going to swing for the fences.
Sure.
We're going to go for Drew next week, but yeah, we've got Mark Purdy coming on this week.
Let's give him a call here.
You want to call him again?
Yeah, we'll call him. Hold on.
You said 7:30, dude.
It is 7:30.
No.
Check, check.
Testes.
All right, here we go.
Hello? Hello, it's Mark Purdy.
Hey, Mark, it's Mike from Dudes on Hockey.
Yes, it is. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Let me just do a quick intro here, and we'll get rolling.
Okay, let me get to a little quieter place here. My club working out. I'm going to... Okay.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, we're joined today by Mark Purdy from the San... Mark?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry. I heard like a weird noise there for a second. Sorry about that.
Okay. Sorry.
No worries. All right, we're joined today by Mark Purdy from the San Jose Mercury News. He's a columnist for the San Jose Mercury News, and he wrote a very attention-grabbing article about a week ago about the Sharks who could, quote, threaten the ability of the Sharks to stay in San Jose. Mark, can you tell us a little bit about the genesis of this article? And it mentions a TV deal that was signed in 2009. And I guess one of my questions is, you know, how come we haven't heard something about this before now?
Well, because I had heard rumors about this stuff and I spent a lot of time trying to track down the truth, which is what professional journalists are supposed to do, not spread rumors, but find out what's really true. And it took me a while because everybody's kind of clams up about it, but I finally found enough people to give me the lowdown. And the story is that the Sharks are very upset with their local TV package, which, as you mentioned, was signed in 2009, and it pays them just $7 million a year from the Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area, Comcast Sportsnet California networks, $7 million a year, and goes for 14 more years. By comparison, the LA Kings get over $20 million a year, as do the Anaheim Ducks, and some of the Canadian teams get a lot more than that. The Toronto Maple Leafs get $44 million a year. So the Sharks are upset at that. The deal was signed off on by the previous administration, business-wise, with Greg Jamieson as the CEO and previous owners. It's true that, of course, these guys, Hasso Plattner, when he bought the team, knew about that. And John Tortora, who is the new COO, did know about that. But it's telling that before Tortora came here to San Jose, his job was in the National Hockey League office as vice president of media there. So he obviously had contacts with Comcast, NBC, which holds the national television rights for the National Hockey League. And I surmise and basically confirm, you know, one big reason he was hired by Hasso Plattner to run the team was to try to improve the TV rights with his contacts. That has not yielded anything so far, and it's to the point where Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, has actually communicated with the corporate people of Comcast, which is located in Philadelphia, to see if something can be done about that. The way it figures into the Sharks' future is, you went to math class, right?
Long time ago.
You say yes, say yes.
Absolutely.
I don't want to just have my voice on this thing for a long period, so I'm trying to, break it up here. So you went to math class, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. Well, so if you take, over 14 years the Kings are getting $22 million a year and the Sharks are getting $7 million a year. That's $15 million a year times 15. What's that?
$225
million. That's a lot of money. Yeah.
That's like a 100 Mike only, Browns.
it's probably about 20 Joe Thorntons, you know? And the only way the Sharks can get out of that, probably legally, is by abandoning the market. Moving the franchise somewhere where they could get a better TV deal somewhere else. My information is that at least is something that Plattner's been blustering about. He's not going to do it tomorrow. and probably not next year. And the lease of the building runs through 16-17, I believe. So it's going to be a few years, but when they get to that point, which incidentally will also is the other thing I mentioned in the column, they're, you know, the shelf life of most arenas in this day and age is about 25 to 30 years, and that's, we're approaching that for SAP Center. So I think it'll all come to a head, you know, in 3 or 4 years in terms of what the team's future in San Jose will be.
Hey, Mark, did you get the feeling that, you know, with the new ownership group led by Hasso Plattner, that that this TV deal was, you know, unacceptable and the previous ownership group was more okay with it? Or do you think this was sort of brewing for a long time from the old ownership group to the new?
Okay, I told you the facts as I know them, right?
Yep.
The rest, this part of it's going to be opinion, okay?
Of course.
My opinion, and but also, you know, some things I picked up is that the previous owners kind of trusted Greg Jameson to do the deal. And the part I haven't mentioned is at the start of this deal, they did get a little, you know, kind of a bonus signing bonus. I don't know exactly how much that was, but it allowed the owners at that time to avoid a cash call at the end of that season, which was welcome to them. And so the way Jameson, I understand, presented it to him was, look, you know, I got this TV deal on you. There won't be a cash call this season. We're going to be breaking even. And the owners accept that, didn't look into it too closely. And then a couple years later, went, whoops, what happened? I mean, they trusted Greg Jameson to kind of look out for their best interests. And I don't know why anybody running any team anywhere would sign a deal that long, given that, you know, that's a long time. It's like a 20-year deal. It's a long time, and you have to have confidence in your product that you're going to be worth five years from now or 8 years from now than, you know, than what you're signed to do over the next 14, 15, 20 years. So, I think that's in 2000, and actually, I think the deal was signed in 2008. In 2009 is when Greg Jameson kind of, remember, he just kind of suddenly resigned.
Right.
He was only 60. He's only 60 years old. Not that old a guy, at least if you're my age. And we kind of wondered, why are you resigning? His answer was, you know, it's just time, and I'm ready to go. I think we now know that between the TV deal and some other things, he got the Shark franchise into like non hockey related stuff, like. They owned a piece of that tennis tournament there and a piece of that Strikeforce WWF. They got involved in the college bowl game here that flopped after a few years, and some other things that weren't hockey related. And some kids weren't even arena related, but didn't do so well that now I think in retrospect, we can see why Jameson kind of walked away or was probably nudged out.
Well, speaking of being put out to pasture, let's segue to Drew Remenda.
You've talked to my boss, haven't you? You've talked to my boss, haven't you?
I want to talk about Drew Remenda.
I thought you were talking about me.
did Drew make some sort of bad TV deal or maybe a bad hairspray deal for Randy Hahn or something? Or we can't figure this out as fans of Drew Remenda and also as fans of the Sharks broadcast team, which is often hailed as one of the best in the NHL. What happened here?
Well, I don't. I wish I knew as much about that as I did about the other stuff. I can tell you what I do know is that probably the decision about Drew went all the way to the top, me and the owner. And that tells me that the owner obviously didn't like Drew's work for some reason. I know it wasn't Doug Wilson. I know that, the general manager. I know he did not weigh in on that. It came from the business side and the ownership side. And Drew has a tendency to be maybe a little more honest and on the air than some people up top would like. He's the funny part is, knowing Drew as I do, I mean, he's actually holding back a lot of things he believes on the air, but he still lets the listeners know what, you know, pretty much what he feels. And I know also there were some issues about him not living here. You know, he lived in Saskatchewan, so he kind of commuted back and forth And, you know, the Sharks like the broadcasters to be, do some community work, you know, locally, appearances and so forth. Remember, those guys are paid by the Sharks, not by Comcast. And that might have had a little bit to do with it. But I think at heart, you know, the owner who watches every game on TV, no matter where he is, because he lives in Germany a good chunk of the year, but I know he watches every telecast on online or whatever, must just, you know, must not didn't like Drew's approach, which I think this is one of the perils of absentee ownership, in that when you do not live in the Bay Area and in the South Bay in particular, maybe you don't understand the connection of the fans to, you know, some of the both broadcasters and players. And that, you know, is often not good when you're making decisions. And given that the Sharks are starting what we are told is going to be a somewhat radical retooling, it seems odd to me that you would make a change and you know, send out the door the guy who probably communicates with the fans the best of any coach or player or management. Drew's taken a high road on this and is not saying anything bad. I understand he did get a chunk of money to walk away, like a pretty good, you know, decent severance pay or something that you would expect for a guy who's worked for a team for 20 years. So that probably explains a little bit of why he's walking away, or why he's taking the high road. But that's all I know about that, and that's the best I can give you.
Well, we'll keep picking your brain here, Mark. As we're talking about...
That's a dangerous, dangerous thing to do.
As we're talking about this supposed rebuild, or these phrases that we, you know, haven't heard Doug Wilson say ever, the tomorrow team,
mm-hmm.
the names Marlowe and Thornton, of course, are the ones that you've even written about a couple weeks ago, thinking that maybe one might not be back, possibly both.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've heard, you know, them coming out themselves saying, oh, well, we're not leaving. Joe Thornton's brother taking to Twitter, he's not leaving. Has anything changed on this front in the last couple weeks that maybe these guys are really not going anywhere?
Well, they don't have to go anywhere. They do have those non-movement clauses. But
they need to go somewhere. Or nothing's going to change.
Well, I'm confident. I'm actually fairly confident that one or both of them will. Now, it might not be in even as late as the next trade deadline. But you know, Doug Wilson has, I believe in fairly, you know, a fairly good knowledge that has sat down with him and said, look, this is the direction we're going. We're going to turn this team over to the young guys. Your contract gives you the right to stay here. But if you stay, you're going to have a reduced role. Might mean, you know, you're no longer captains. It might mean you get fewer minutes. It might mean, you know, you're not on the number one power play unit. It might mean a lot of things. And you know, we are going to take a step back and probably not contend for the cup next year. You know, we'll try and we'll play hard and we'll try to get into the playoffs. But you know, the moves we're talking about making, you know, we need to take a step back. So you know, we'll end up in position to maybe draft a little better and with some lower choices or higher choices, however you want to put it. And do you want to stick around for that? Or do you want to try to find a team that's close to winning the cup that you can go to? And it's obviously your choice, you know, which team, but I can look around and see what I can come up with and come back to you and let you make that choice. You know, which is it you want to do? So I think that's happened, and I think Marlowe and Thornton are thinking about it, and we'll see what goes next. You know, would something happen before the draft next week? Probably not. Would something happen right around the time of the free agent deadline in early July? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Would something happen right before the season starts? Maybe. Could something happen as late as the trade deadline? You know, traditionally, that's when you probably get your biggest return. But I think that one or both of those guys will not be on the Sharks team a year from now. Let's say that, and a number of other guys probably as well. So that's where things stand with that, I believe.
Sort of along those lines, you know, Doug Wilson said recently on NHL Live that, you know, a comment was made by the players that they were coworkers and not teammates. Is that something that you were exposed to at all? Is that a feeling that you got at all? I mean, you know, I'm asking for an opinion here, obviously, not firsthand knowledge, but you know, that's a pretty strong statement to make about, you know, especially in a sport where team seems to come way above all else. I mean, that's a fairly large bomb to throw. Do you agree with that statement? And B, do you think Thornton and Marlowe have, you know, as much to do with that as anybody else, or maybe they have more to do with it than other people?
Well, that's a number of questions, isn't it? That comment was also told me in confidence by a player. That's nice Doug went public with it, I guess. I somebody tells me something in confidence, I don't, you know, report that.
Of course.
But so be it. But, you know, the general manager chooses. Obviously, the player told the same thing to the general manager. Being around teams, you know, you get it's hard under the circumstances which we're in the dressing rooms to kind of get a real beat on a lot of things. Was this team as tight and close as some of those, like, Chichu, that area, you know, the Chichu, who else was here then? That group, and I didn't sense that. But I think that in relation to what you're talking about, was it didn't have anything to do with Thornton and Marlowe. I think it was Thornton and Marlowe's responsibility to, whether they caused that or not, to not have it be that way. You know, if they saw something like that happening, Joe Jumbo's the captain, you know, and he's supposed to try to have it be better than that. I know it wasn't a happy clubhouse after game seven, you know, because I was in there. But over the course of the season, you know, when I go out there, it seemed kind of situation normal. I do think that it was, this isn't real life, it's hockey. But I think it was kind of a poisonous to have somebody like Martin Havlat in the room, who wasn't really doing anything for the team and was getting paid a lot of money. And, you know, they kind of kept him around. And, you know, every time somebody would look at him, they'd say, what's that guy giving us? And why aren't they doing something about it? I don't know what the options were about that. But I think that's an example of, you know, something that can be bad for a team. When a team is winning, generally things are upbeat in the locker room. The Sharks had a great regular season. Whenever I'd go over there, you know, they seemed to be joking around, seemed to be having fun. I do think that Joe's big personality, which is great for a team over 82 games, I mean, he's never had a bad day at the rink, near as I can tell, and he kind of, you know, is loose and keeps people loose over that long grind. That influences, but it also makes younger guys kind of step back and defer to him. And one of the problems, I kind of made allusion to this, I think, in some of the stuff, right? One of the problems is, though, when the Sharks get to the playoffs, Joe still is Joe. That's his personality. And he just doesn't, I remember, Rob Blake, new Hall of Famer, when he was with the Sharks, told me, you know, when he was walking out the door, you know, that he thought the problem here wasn't that the Sharks slipped in the regular season. They just never found another gear to get, you know, to take it above their regular season gear. And in my mind, probably Thornton was somebody that maybe he talked about. Now, I did see Joe have some great playoff games, but, the record speaks for itself. And what was the question?
I think you answered all my questions, Mark.
That's kind of my view of that. And that's another reason why somebody, you know, like Logan Couture could be a team leader there. He could be a captain. But rightfully and respectfully, he defers to Thornton and Marlowe, for sure, and Boyle, when Boyle is here. You know, is like, you know, I'm not going to speak up and you know, kind of address the room because, you know, those guys are the guys who've been here a while and they're the captains and, you know, it's kind of their job. Right. If those guys aren't there, or maybe even if they're just not the captains, maybe Logan speaks up a little more, or maybe somebody like Pavelski speaks up a little more. I think that's really what Doug's aiming at.
Well, Mark, we really appreciate you joining us on the podcast, and we appreciate your insights, and we like reading your articles. So thanks so much for joining us, and hopefully you'll be able to join us again sometime in the future.
Yeah, sure. I feel like I did way too much talking. Don't you guys, can I ask you guys questions?
Yeah, please. Go go ahead. Shoot.
We're used to blabbering.
Well, I mean, so you're the general manager. What do you do? What do you do if you're the general manager?
It's funny because we get emails on both sides, and there's lately been a little bit of a pushback on, you know, social media and blogs. I don't know if you've seen that, but people are saying, you know, the Sharks numbers are so good. They're such a great possession team, but maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid here, but I think I speak for Doug when I say we're both on board with this change. I think we both think that Joe Thornton has to go in order for this team to see a meaningful change made, a leaf turned over and brought into the next era. And as long as these guys stick around, they're going to be stuck in that mode. And 3 years from now, we could be saying, hey, why didn't Doug Wilson do something 3 years ago?
Right.
Because we knew this was going to happen. And I think now is the right time, and it's going to be painful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can understand that blowback, but of course, no one reads Twitter or social media. Nobody goes to that.
Nobody does.
Anyway, but yes, you know, I understand, you know, why people would feel that way. Because, you know, I think Thornton and Marlowe are the two greatest players in the history of the Sharks, probably, to date. Wouldn't you agree with that? You know, so I understand that. I mean, you don't want to discount all the stuff those guys did, but you know, the argument that the Sharks were great in the regular season is true, but they've been really good in the regular season for the last 10 years, you know, and the argument that, well, golly, they were so close to beating the Kings. I understand that too, but if you examine those numbers closer, I mean, they've now played the Kings 3 of the last 4 playoff seasons, right? And they won one series and then they've lost the last two. Those three series have constituted 20 games. Each team has won 10 of those games. So you think, wow, they really are close. Maybe next year could be the push through. But, so each team's won 10 games. But of the 10 Shark victories, only one of those victories occurred when the Sharks were facing elimination.
Yeah.
Of the 10 Kings victories, 6 of them occurred when they were facing elimination. What that tells me is that the Kings, when it counts, when it matters, are a lot better than the Sharks. And I think that's what you have to look at when you're, you know, deciding, well, do we want to bring back this same, you know, basic core? I mean, I think that's what you know, Doug Wilson's looking at. And I understand that, you know. You know, I want to see what he does. I do think it's time for the team to try something else, whatever that is. And, you know, we'll see what happens. There will be, you know... But we're all, you know, we're all going to laugh about this when we're at the outdoor game next year at Levi's Stadium or AT&T Park. We're going to laugh about it when the Sharks are back in first place and it's all new guys and they're bound for the Stanley Cup. You know, we'll just be laughing about this.
I can fix this team in 2 words. Danny Heatley is available.
He's available.
Okay. Bring him back. Bring back Setoguchi too. Yeah,
Setoguchi, Heatley, and maybe Alexei Semenov.
Yeah. I hear Tori Mitchell's available.
Andre Nazarov, I think, is still playing somewhere.
I think you're right.
Mark.
And you know, I was over in Russia at the Olympics, and, you know, I asked Igor Korolyuk is still playing there in Siberia or someplace. So let's bring him back. Bring him back, too.
Let's get the band back together.
Yeah.
Hey, it was fun being on our show, and, you know, appreciate the readership. And I hope mercurynews.com, there's my plug, and... yeah, tell your friends. We need every reader we can get.
We will, and we'll link to you, of course, on the podcast. So everybody go and read Mark Purdy's amazing work on the Sharks, the Niners, the Giants, and everything else. So thanks again, Mark, for joining us.
Trade for Kevin Love.
Sure. Okay.
And the Warriors.
You got my number. Thanks.
Hey, bye.
All right, man.
That was pretty good.
Oh, Mark Purdy's always awesome. And the thing that we were talking about before we record is, you know, we get the straight scoop, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no censorship, or if he knows something, he's going to tell you.
Right. And he's clearly got that line as a journalist that he's not going to reveal stuff that was said to him in confidence or what have you. And as you would expect from a person who's
a professional, but you know, he's got a lot of opinions, and some of those opinions are well-formed, and well-formed due to covering the team for a long time, being in San Jose a long time, and having these connections within the organization. You know, I thought it was, you know, this God, there was a lot of interesting things he said. I mean, the certainly the thing about Drew that really rang true for me was, you know, we have the quote absentee owner idea, right? We got this owner who doesn't spend a lot of the time during the year in San Jose, and he's disconnected, literally and figuratively, from the fan base. I mean, I think if he was here, and I hope that all friends of Hasso Plattner will be now sending him this podcast to get a feel for the pulse of the San Jose Sharks fan base. But I think there's really something to that. I mean, people are mad, and they should be, and I'm certainly not happy. Neither of us are happy. And of all the things that have been said and done so far, certainly the most jarring thing so far is the dismissal of Drew Remenda.
The timing of it is awful. I mean, really. I mm-hmm. mean, they're talking about making these changes to the team. We're going to rebuild. We're going to make all these changes. And the first one is, we're going to rip away one of your favorite
right.
voices who's been here for years. And we'll give you no reason
right.
other than we just want to go in a new direction. So, yeah.
I mean, everybody's got their opinions. And of course, there's people who aren't fans of Drew Remenda in town. But, you know, those people are in the minority.
Sure.
The vast majority of people that I know have no problem with Drew. And, you know, he's certainly around the league. You hear that he's one of the best there is. So, I don't want to become, you know, from what Purdy said, it makes me uneasy. I don't want a yes man in the chair. I don't want a guy who just pumps the Sharks' tires all day
right.
and says how great they are. You know, because there's nothing that loses credibility. The Sharks are in last place and they're terrible. And the guy says, well, they're doing so good. I don't want to hear that crap. I don't
right.
want to hear that.
Right.
I want to hear from a person that knows a lot about hockey what's going on with the team. And that's I felt that's what Drew brought to the table.
Two other things from, I mean, I'm sure we'll pick up on more when we go back and re-listen to it. Yes, we are that vain. We re-listen to our own podcast.
Almost everyone.
I mean, he said that Hasso Plattner has been blustering
right.
about moving this team
yeah.
when the lease is up in 2016.
Yeah.
And I got a knot in my stomach when he said that. I mean, you know, I know, dude, this is so far away.
Yeah.
And obviously they're doing everything they can to be proactive about trying to fix this TV deal, right? I mean, you brought in a guy who used to work for the NHL in media to mm-hmm. work with the media, and now you've got Gary Bettman stepping in, and you're doing your best to iron this out, but business is business in the end for a businessman who doesn't live here.
Yeah.
So what does he care if the team's in San Jose or if it's in Seattle? What does he care? Right?
That's a good but very scary point.
Yeah. So it makes me a little nervous. It makes me a little nervous. So I don't know if Joe Thornton and Patrick Morrow are listening to this, but you might not be living here anyways, baby.
I know. Get used to the space needle.
Anyways, obviously so far away, but interesting information and a little chilling.
Yeah,
you know?
I'd say so.
And I take Mark Purdy and his sources at their word.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, I think Joe or Marlo will not be here.
Right.
And but his timeline is interesting.
Right. He seemed to be, I mean, you know, maybe he was alluding to something that he wasn't able to disclose, or maybe he was just expressing an opinion. He certainly seemed to emphasize, from my perspective, the idea that, okay, yeah, Doug Wilson wants to make these changes. Yes, Joe Thornton and Patrick Marlo, maybe both will be gone. But, you know, maybe the fans are screaming for blood right now. And, you know, we thought they might be traded at the draft. You know, the real life timeline could be considerably longer than that. And just because the Sharks maybe start the year with the same team doesn't mean that Doug Wilson suddenly forgot about the plan. You know,
that's going to be very hard.
Yes.
For people to stomach, and myself included. And, you know, it goes back to the point that Doug Wilson is severely painting himself into a corner, right?
Yeah.
With, you know, having so many players on his team with no move clauses, you know, and you've
right.
got guys who you're probably ready to part ways with and would be able to part ways with significantly quicker if they didn't have all the power. So, dude, anything else from the Purdy? I've got some things here I want to talk about. I know that we don't have that much time left,
yeah.
but before the draft, dude, I just want to go over the off-season timeline here. So we've
okay.
got, beginning on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
we've got the UFA-RFA interview period, dude.
We. Yeah, that's new.
Yeah, it was here last year, but they just kind of ironed out the details. So now teams basically can let a player know of their general interest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everyone could have called Mike Brown.
Right.
I said, Mike, we're interested. And he could say, hey, I'm looking for 2 years, $4.2 million. And they would go, you're crazy.
I'm looking for 4.2 click.
Like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
So anyways, they're not allowed to get into specific terms, but they're allowed to talk about ballpark. So this is kind of a new wrinkle since the CBA.
Mm-hmm.
Friday and Saturday is the draft. Sharks have... 7 picks as of right now, dude. Pick number 20 in the first round. And then July 1st is unrestricted day, dude. And so
yep.
we'll probably be back before then.
Oh, yeah.
I just quickly wanted to go through this list of players, dude, and I wanted you to rank them on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being their position on the roster is safe, and 10... I'm sorry, 1 being they're in danger of maybe not being back, and 10 is they are... the safest as safe can be.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And these are players who are under contract right now. So
yeah,
I'm not covering guys who are unrestricted or RFAs.
Okay.
Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being safe, 1 being Martin Havlat.
1.
Okay.
-1.
Joe Thornton.
A 2.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Patrick Marleau.
I'll say like a 3 on Marleau.
Joe Pavelski.
He's an 8.
Logan Couture.
He's a 10.
Tyler Kennedy.
Tyler Kennedy is no grade. I mean, we don't even know.
He's
this
a
guy's
1, so he's the least secure.
Yeah, he's not. I don't think.
Rafi Torres.
He's a 9, I think.
Adam Burrish.
He's a 2 or 3.
So I'd say he's a 1.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's really not going to be back for sure.
I think if they can get rid of him, they will. And I could actually see them using the second compliance on him.
Yeah.
Because it's been so bad.
I said 2 or 3 because I don't think that's for certain. I mean, 1 to me means the team will do everything in its power to get the guy out the door. And I don't necessarily think that's the case with Burrish.
Okay. We're not going to talk about Mike Brown because he just re-signed. Thomas Hurdle.
Thomas Hurdle's a 10. Yeah.
Nat Nieto.
Same thing.
Andrew Desjardins.
He's a 5.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the
middle. I'd say the same thing. I think it's very possible that someone like him might not be around because, you know, you know what you have, right?
Yeah.
He's not a lot of upside, right? He's not a bad player.
He's a good player. He's a good fourth line player, but there's a fair number of players out there in the world that can play those kinds of minutes.
Brent Burns.
That's interesting. I mean, I think he's like a 6 or 7 maybe.
Pickles.
He's a 10.
Brad Stewart.
He's a 2 or 3. I think if they could get rid of him, they probably would.
Justin Braun.
He's an 8 or a 9.
Matt Irwin.
Jury's out on Matt Irwin.
I'd rank him pretty high.
I mean, 6 or 7 is
yeah.
what I'd say. I mean, he's not as secure as Pickles, but he's not on the block.
He's got 1 year left at $1 million. I mean, what's
there's
the
no
big
reason
deal,
to get
right?
rid of him.
I mean,
yeah.
what? But you may as well see what he can do, right?
Yeah.
Niemi.
A 4.
All right. Those
yeah.
are our guys, dude.
Yeah.
So you've identified the core as basically Pavs, Couture, Torres, Hurdle, Nieto,
mm-hmm.
Mike Brown, Vlasic, Braun.
Yeah.
And Stalock.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Those are the guys that are ranking 8 or higher, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I agree with that. I don't think there's anybody that you left out. I mean, I think that I might put Burns as an 8 just because I do think that they believe
he's the new
that,
Dan
that
Boyle.
He's the new Dan Boyle. I mean, I think that they believe that, or maybe I'm just buying into the snake oil they're selling me. But well, dude, do we have any questions or any emails, dude? I know that you need to run.
I don't think we have anything, dude.
Prospect game on July 9th. Dude, tickets go on sale tomorrow morning. Are we buying tickets?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
All right.
Might as well, right?
Taylor Doherty.
We go every year, and every year we're...
We always sit there and we go, why are we here?
That's right.
This is a terrible waste of time.
It's like our tradition. Oh, man. Got a couple questions about trading Joe. I think we've answered those pretty well. Not a lot. I mean, just general discontent from Sharks fans, and well-deserved.
And so many articles with the counter-argument saying that the Sharks, I read one today, Sharks are having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
That they are looking in the mirror and...
James Myrtle's piece,
yeah,
maybe?
And unjustly ripping themselves to shreds. And I think it's people who are writing about the team who are nowhere near this team and are on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And yes, they know a lot about hockey and they see this team and they look at them from afar and go,
Wow,
this is a good team. Why are you ripping this team down? And I think if you were here, you'd know why. Because, you know, we've seen it year after year. I think everybody tries to convince themselves at the end of the year that, well, just let them kick the can one more time, right?
Yeah, I think that's...
Because I bet I could convince you, dude. I bet I could convince you right now if I wanted to just roll out the same boys.
Yeah.
And I think you could convince me.
What could I say? I mean, you know, this is a good team. They're good in the regular season. And, you know, people sitting in these chairs, not in the locker room, not in the front office, not seeing all those things that happen... You know, we can say, look at the possession numbers in this team. Look at the output of this team. Look at the skill. Look at the top 15 players that we have. Why would we think that this team can't get it done? You know, there's something to that argument. I'm not going to pretend like I know exactly what's going on over there. But by the same token, I think there's opportunity cost for just rolling these guys out again and again and again. I mean, there has to be a point where you cut bait. And I think Doug Wilson has hit it. You know, maybe the deal doesn't come together and maybe he takes another kick at the can because all the other trade deals are so bad that they're not worth looking into. Or maybe Thornton and Marleau somehow, some way embrace reduced roles on the team and they're not making waves. I'm sure Doug Wilson and Todd McLellan are going to have their ears very close to the ground in terms of that, especially about this coworkers versus teammates comment. I can imagine they're going to be extraordinarily sensitive about situations like that. And I think if they feel like that Thornton and Marleau are contributing to that situation, those guys are going to be shipped for very little if that's what it takes. I think that's very possible. But if by somehow these guys can change and sit in the back seat and be more quiet and not drive anymore, it's possible they could be around. And maybe next year, the Sharks might enter the playoffs with this team and the Sharks, you know, then try and trade Joe and Marleau in the offseason, like Purdy said, or, you know, imply that could be a possibility. So I don't know. I'm not saying that would be my first choice, but I'm saying it's not outside the realm of possibility.
If you look at the Sharks schedule, you know, which came out yesterday.
How about that?
Yeah.
The Sharks open the season in LA and watch LA raise the banner.
Right. And then they have their first 8 out of 9 on the road.
You
know, like 14 out of 16 or something like that. No, not that much, but it was bad. Like,
yeah.
This team very, very easily could get off to a horrible start.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just so bad. You look at, you know, they go to LA and they come home and think they play Winnipeg. And then they go on an East Coast trip where they hit like all the major East Coast cities in the Metropolitan Division, right?
Right.
That's a brutal, brutal start.
Yeah.
And not going to do this team any favors, certainly out of the gate. So that was a little bit discouraging, no matter who's on this team, to see that the Sharks are going to have a rough go when the season starts, dude. But as always, we will cover the team no matter who's here.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens, dude. I mean,
cover the team as long as it's in San Jose. That is.
Dude.
We're not talking about
that. No, I don't want to talk about that yet. In terms of Friday, do you think the Sharks will make any sort of trade at the draft?
They'll make some sort of trade. They always swap 2 sixths for a fifth or something.
Will there be, let me put it a different way, will they trade a roster player at the draft?
I thought, you know, I was leaning towards yes, but after talking to Purdy, who I think has a lot better sources than I do, he said he didn't think it would happen.
Well, but he said he didn't think one of those two would be gone.
That's true.
Now, there are other guys on this team right. that certainly could be earmarked for other destinations. You know, I don't think Brad Stewart's going to fetch you a whole heck of a lot. And
he's got a no move anyway.
And he's got a no move. And, you know, his whole point of coming back here was to play by his family. So maybe he doesn't, I don't know, maybe he doesn't care if he yeah. even plays.
Right.
You know, I mean, just if he's scratched every night and he can, you know, I'm sure he doesn't feel that way. He's yeah. a, you know,
no
he's
professional athlete.
And he wants to be out there, right?
Yeah, of course.
But, maybe that's a guy that if he's decided he's willing to move for a year, that maybe he could move at some point. You know, that if you look at the unrestricted free agent defensemen that are out there right now, if Dan Boyle has quickly risen to the top of the list with mm-hmm. Andre Markov's name off the sheet. And I mean, Boyle must have been doing a giddy dance of joy today when he saw that Andre Markov deal, right?
Yeah, it's good money. It's good money. I mean, but you know, I think Boyle would have liked to have stayed in San Jose if he could have.
Sure.
I mean, he had roots here. He's been here 6 years.
Well, yeah, but
I think he'd rather be here. But well, sure, in terms of a financial cash-in, I'm sure it looks much better for Boyle than we thought. I mean, now it looks like 3 years, $15 million or 2 years, $10 million is a steal for Dan Boyle.
Well, he's going to get $5 million a year. I mean, yeah. for sure. I mean, he'll get $5 million from somebody. So interesting that Dan Boyle is the one who's not back right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, God, I'd love to talk to him. You know,
Boyle?
I'd love to talk to him.
Sure.
You know, and I know
but
we
you know,
can't.
He's not going to throw no, anyone
of course
under the
he,
bus
of course he
and
won't.
All that kind of stuff.
I would love to talk to him for 5 minutes, just not even with a microphone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
and, like,
you,
with a promise that we would never mention anything
because
he said.
You just wonder.
Yeah.
What happened, right? Like, what happened? And, you know, where he fell into all of that, right?
Right.
You know, in terms of, we've seen this guy from an observer standpoint. He's a gamer. He's a freaking gamer. And when we met him after the Columbus game, he was a perfect gentleman and totally gracious to even talk to us. But they freaking lost a heartbreaker and he was pissed.
Yeah.
He was pissed.
Yeah, he was not happy.
He was not happy, you know, and I wish that the Sharks all kind of wore that emotion.
Yeah.
You know, after a regular season game where I think the Sharks could have clinched a playoff spot if they'd won that game, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Right.
And
right.
they lost it on a really bad play by Pavs, if you remember. And,
yep.
and all of a sudden they just, you know, pissed it away to a bad Columbus team. Oh man. Well, dude, we know he's not signing with the Islanders and I had read from Craig Custis today that maybe that deal was a little bit closer than everybody thought. So maybe he actually gave some real thought to it, but it's gotta be too tempting for the first time really in his life, like as a you know,
an unrestricted free
unrestricted
agent.
Free yeah. agent to go out there and see what's there. You know, I'm sure he's gonna get some really great phone calls and some good offers and I hope he ends up on a team that we don't feel
bad,
you know,
about, rooting
bad about rooting for him on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
worst case scenario is he ends up where?
Kings.
Worst case.
The Kings, of course.
No, he won't go to L.A. They can't. Ducks.
Yeah.
Ducks.
Ducks would be bad.
That would be bad.
That would be really bad. Please Duck, don't.
Would that hurt the most?
I mean,
Kings
the, Kings, the Kings would hurt worse, but the Ducks
Kings,
is
Ducks
pretty close.
Hurt. Yeah. Red Wings?
You know, I don't feel like the Red Wings are really...
Because they're gone?
They're not good enough to really contend, but the Ducks and the Kings are both good, and that would make them better.
St. Louis?
Yeah, St. Louis would hurt, but I don't really have any real animosity towards St. Louis. I mean, they've kind of done things right.
Worst case scenario would be the Ducks.
Yeah.
Oh, that would hurt so much.
Let's not talk about it anymore.
You know what's happening.
I know. Dude, draft on Friday, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
Okay, bye.
Show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.